Hi, this is Michael Closser here, back with another study plan for our scriptures today. If you have your Bibles, we're going to have a Bible study. We're going to begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading in 2 Corinthians 5, 15 and 16. It says, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. 16. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, from this day forward, we know him that way no more." You see, everything about the new covenant is spiritual based. And he's saying here in these scriptures that we knew Christ. I mean, we walked around with him, talked with him, and things like that. We knew him after the flesh, but he says from this point forward, we don't know him after the flesh anymore. It's not that way anymore. We know him after the Spirit. So he's changing a relationship with God through Jesus Christ by no longer living according to the flesh realm, but now living according to the spiritual realm. So he says, we've got to change our way of thinking. And that way of thinking used to be the flesh realm, understanding Jesus through the flesh realm. But he says, not anymore. Now we recognize that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. So God made a change in our lives. We don't consider Jesus after the flesh anymore. We consider him after the Spirit. Amen. Now I'm wanting to jump down to 2 Corinthians 5:21 to get right to the heart of the matter. But before we do that, I want us to understand that God sent Jesus Christ to the earth. Amen. Jesus says, "I'm the sent one." And he says, "If you'll receive me, you'll receive the one who sent me." So the Father and the Son are in perfect harmony, and the Son is obeying the Father. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, he says, "God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself." So God sent Jesus to earth to meet people, to join up with people. And Jesus came to this Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, "Lord, isn't there any other way that we can get this accomplished? I don't want to go through this, the crucifixion and the suffering of that, just to join up with people. Can there be another way?" The Father said, "No, there's no other way." And Jesus said, "I'll do thy will." Amen. So in culmination of this concept, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 reads this, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So God made Jesus to be sin so that he could meet people where they were at. He came down from his level to our level. In fact, he became sin so that we could join up with him in our sin. So Jesus, who knew no sin at all, was made to be sin for us. And he was made to be sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, this is not how the flesh works. No, the flesh doesn't work this way. Only the spiritual things work this way. So God sent Jesus out to meet people, and he met them where they were at, which was in sin. So in order to meet us thoroughly, he had to become sin as well. But the goal of God was not to become sin and stay in sin. The goal of God was to become sin, join up with people, and let the people, now that they've joined up with Jesus, come into his righteousness. The goal of God was not simply to take away our sins. The goal of God was for him to take away our sins, and that because he has taken away our sins and we've joined up and become one with him in our sin, his sin, our sin, became the joining place. It became the place of communion. And in that communion condition, we can also grow into him in the other things that he is. He became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So from that common union of his sin and our sin, we join up with him. We meet God. And because we have met God, now we're open to become everything that he is. And everything that he is righteous. So, he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us so that we can join up with God, we can meet God in sin, and then from that place of common union, we can grow up into him, into the other things that he is, which is righteousness. That is, we can come alive in him because he's alive. We can become healed in him because he's healed. We become wise in him because he is wisdom, whatever it is. We can become whatever he is by first making contact with him, by first meeting God. And then once we've met God, now we can share in everything that he is. And one of the things that he is the righteousness of God. So everything that we grow into after we've met God is righteous with God. Notice that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Notice it says in there that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, it's in him. And in order for us to be in him, we have to meet him. And we can't do that. He met us. He became sin so that he could meet us in our sin. And then because we've met together, we have this common point of contact together with him. And then he says, you can be made the righteousness of God in him. See, you have to stay in Christ. See, this common union with Christ is known as the communion with God and people. He communes together. God and people come together in Christ. We start off in our relationship with him on the common ground of sin. My, my, my. But in that common ground, in that communion, we meet with God. Then from that place of communion, we can grow up into him in all things. And all things of him are righteous. But I don't believe we can grow up into him and not be in him. See, the scripture said that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, we join up with Christ and we stay in Christ. Well, how can that be? Well, you can't understand it in the flesh. It doesn't answer itself in the flesh realm, but it does answer itself in the spiritual realm. Verse 16 said, though we have known him in the flesh, yet from this point forward, we don't know him in the flesh anymore. We know him in the spirit. And it is in the spirit that things can grow and change this way. So Jesus became sin for us. Then by his shed blood, our sins are forgiven. So by joining up with Jesus in our sin, we also join up with Jesus in the forgiveness of sins. If we believe in the forgiveness of sins, amen. So we join up with God in our sin, and then we have forgiveness of sins because we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we make our first entry into the righteousness of God. The first part of our life in righteousness with God is that sins have been forgiven. Well, that can't be in the physical realm. Yes, it can. It can't be in the flesh realm, but it can be so in the spiritual realm. This might be a bit hard to understand, but listen to what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you see how the Apostle Paul recognized that when it was crucifixion that allowed him to have his sins forgiven? And he says, I don't live there anymore, but nevertheless, I'm alive because Christ lives in me. He had shifted over from himself into Christ. That's where salvation comes in. That's where your deliverance comes in. That's where your blessings come in. That's where you come into eternal life. Paul said, "Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." This is the principle that wins over the world in him. He says, "The life I live in the flesh is not me, it's Christ within me." Paul goes on in Galatians 2:21, he says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ died in vain." You see, the law is in the flesh realm. And Jesus ended the flesh realm and entered us into the spiritual realm. Amen. And in so doing, he said, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God." Once we've made contact with Christ by meeting him, he meets us, he comes to where we're at and meets us at where we are, then from that position we join into Christ, and then that from position of being in Christ, then we live through him. Not my life in the flesh anymore, it's his life in my flesh. That's a spiritual concept. So anything that we need from God, we can enter into his righteousness because we've already met God in our sin. And anything that's in Christ that we desire will be in the righteousness of God. So he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We join up with Christ and become everything he is. Scripture says, "As he is, so are we in this world." It's a matter of us working the principles of God, working the promises of God in Christ Jesus. See, if we're in Christ Jesus as we work his principles, it's as if he himself is doing the works. How can that be? That's the communion that I'm trying to explain to you. The common ground, the common elements that are common to me and Christ. Our job is really to function in that common union condition. Our job is to continue to keep that pathway of life coming to us in him and keeping that pathway of life in us. Keep the door open to his blessings. How do we do that? We stay in Christ. It's not me that lives, it's Christ within me. See, whatever Jesus is, we can become because we're in him. And if we don't quite get that, just by being in Christ, we have a great starting point in life. Say, for instance, we're in Christ, and from that place of in Christ, he reaches out to us with his love for us by forgiving our sins. He brings forgiveness into our lives. You know, I think the forgiveness of sins is probably the biggest action God ever did for humanity. He became sin for us. But in order to keep that doorway open, we have to forgive others. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25, it reads, "And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have something against anyone, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." This act of forgiving your sins is the biggest thing of God ever. And he's desiring us to join up with him. If we will meet him in that forgiveness of sins, then we need to forgive others as well. Otherwise, we disconnect from our meeting. If you will meet God for who he is, you'll receive everything that he is. If you'll meet God in his forgiveness of sins, you'll have the forgiveness of sins. But it's only on account of if you continue in his principles after that. You have to remain in Christ. Keep doing the things that Christ would do in order to maintain that union with God. Keep that doorway connection with God open and continue to receive the blessings of God. It's like a three-step process. The first step is meet God, and that is done by God. We don't really meet Him out of our own will. He came to us. Amen. Now, once you meet God, you need to stay in Him. And you do that by staying in Christ. Now that you're in Christ, you can apply any of the principles of God and work those principles by being in Christ and work them out into the world as if Christ Himself was doing the work. Can you imagine Jesus asking something of the Father, and the Father said, "No, I don't think you're worthy of that." No, everything we ask, we receive of Him if we stay in Him. If we keep the door of blessing open to Him. So number one, we meet God however we can, even in our sins. Well, we have sin, and we don't have to do anything to get that to meet God. We have that. He has given us a doorway of entrance into Him by communion. He's communing with our sin, and we've already communed with sin, so now we're one in Him. And now that we're in Him, we work the principles of Him and receive the harvest of those things. We receive the fruit of the seed sown. And the seed sown is the Word of God. You know, there's a scripture that says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Well, how does that happen? Well, it happens because God comes to us, shows His mercy to us, and we receive that mercy by being merciful to others. He came to us and brought forgiveness of our sins, and we keep that forgiveness and that doorway opened unto His blessings by forgiving others. You see that this is the principle that God is using to grow the kingdom. Jesus is our point of contact for every spiritual blessing. Jesus is our point of contact for receiving all that He is in our lives. Because it's not us living it, it's Christ within us. Living it. How does that happen? Through communion, the common union of men and God. You know, I'm calling this communion or common union, but there's even a bigger picture called New Covenant. Amen. Because it is within that New Covenant that we have our communion. You know, when Jesus became sin for us, He did it to meet people. He did it to meet humanity. He doesn't want us to stay in our sins. He wants to meet us in our sin, then have us join up with Him, and now that we're in Christ, change who we are and come into the righteousness of God that's in Him. God does not want to join up with us in our sin and stay there. But because we joined up with Him, we have the ability to change into something else. And it's not something else in the human realm. It's change into something in the God realm. The title of this message is Meet God. And I think I'm going to change it to Meet God Number One. There's so many more things I would want to share about this. After we've met God, we come to the place where we grow into the principles of God and become who He is. We work the principle of give, and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. We meet God this way, and we keep the doorway of blessing open unto Him by doing those things that are pleasing in His sight. Give, and it shall be given. Give, and you shall meet the bounty of God. This next lesson that we're going to learn is Meet God Number Two, and it focuses on 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Read verses 1 through 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and be ready for the next lesson. Yes, do a little homework. Read that 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And it might be a little bit difficult to read, but I will explain it next week. So tune in again next week when we learn another scripture message from the Word of God and grow in His grace and in His truth and in His love. Amen.